Last week, we characterized Timothy as someone who needed a pat on the back and a kick in the pants all the time. Paul is in prison as he writes the second letter to Timothy. We finished the first letter, and we're now studying the second letter, and we see there's a whole shift in emphasis on the second letter. It moves from Timothy being a pastor in the church in Ephesus and learning to deal with the people that are there and learning how a church should operate and focusing on that, you know, this is how things are to be done within the assembly of God. And this is him sitting in prison doing time. And as he's there, the picture is that he's very much alone. His first imprisonment, it was a house arrest. People were coming and going. He was busy. He wrote the prison epistles during that time, but he was very busy and active. And the second one, you get the sense that it's very different, that he's very alone. He may have heard that Timothy was struggling. We don't know that, but reading between the lines, there seems to be this sense of, you know, he doesn't seem to be doing really well. And you can picture Paul in prison, contemplating in the hours that he's there alone, thinking about Timothy and trying to say this young man who he refers to as his child or his son, and what can he write, what can he say that will be an encouragement to him? And it flows throughout the letter. So you see in this letter him patting Timothy on the back. And he talks about his son. He said, don't be ashamed of my testimony. Join with me in suffering. He talks about reminding him of these things. He talks about the relationship that he has and with his mother and his grand. He brings in this sense of family and the sense of sonship and the sense of you're a very special person to me. Then also you see scattered throughout the letter all these imperatives, the kick in the pants. We talked last week about several of them. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Join with me in suffering. Retain the standard of sound words. Guard the treasure which has been entrusted to you. So there's this sense of this two things of saying, Timothy, I know you need encouragement, and I know you need direction. So it's very personal. It's not how does the church operate. It's as a young man, how should you operate? What should you learn? And he starts with an encouragement, and it's an imperative. You therefore, my son or my child. So again, he builds that relationship that he has. And he talked earlier about longing to see him and recalling the tears. And there's this strong relationship and bond between the two of them. And he builds upon that and he says, you therefore, my son or my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that imperative, that strength to be strong by means of grace of Christ Jesus. It's like he's saying, don't let adversity discourage or defeat you. It's interesting, though, because it's not the strength in his might or in his abilities or his giftedness or his personality. It's a strength by means of the grace of Christ Jesus. We talk often about being saved by grace, of recognizing that as we come before the Almighty God and the Holy God, we have nothing in us that makes us acceptable to Him. That we're filled with sin, that we're sinful creatures, that we stand before a holy God. And there's nothing there that opens the door for us to have any way of saying, God, you should accept me, you should have fellowship with me. Because we're sinful beings. And so we talk about grace and it's all the way through about our salvation based on grace and not on works. There's nothing we can do. It's not what family we're born into. It's not what country we're born into. It's not It's not how much we can do and how often we go to church or how much we give or how much we talk to people and how nice we are and how many good works we do. None of that stands a chance before an almighty God. As we accept the fact that salvation is by grace, it's simply putting our faith in Him and trusting Him, realizing that I have nothing worthy as I stand before God, but it's all done for me in the cross of Jesus Christ. And I can stand before an almighty God, not counting on my righteousness, but counting on Christ's righteousness, which is flowed through me and given to me because I put my faith in Him. And so we understand that concept of grace when it comes to salvation, but oftentimes we forget that same grace is to be a part of our day-by-day living, and that we're to live and minister by means of grace as well as to be saved by grace. And our strength isn't dependent on our strength in Christian walk and in ministry is not dependent upon our ability to please God or how good we are or how talented we are and how successful we are. Our strength is dependent upon the grace of God continuing to work in our life day by day by day by day. I heard recently an interview with Brian Chappell, who's a preaching professor down in Southeast someplace. I've heard him speak, and I appreciate his ministry very well. But he was asked the question, what have you learned in ministry that they didn't teach you in seminary? And his response was very interesting. And he said, they may have taught me this in seminary, but I wasn't listening. So he clarified it, but there's this sense that as we go through life, we need to be constantly coming back to our life as based on the grace of God and not on us earning our way. You know, we can say our salvation is secure, our destiny with turning with God is secure. And then we try to work to please Him rather than pleasing Him because of His work in our life. So the strength doesn't come about by how good I am or how much I can do or how wonderful my life is. But the grace comes about, or the strength comes about, because when I face those weaknesses, and we all have weaknesses and problems and sin in our life, it comes from the realization that God works us through that and provides grace for us day by day by day, so that our strength becomes out of not our work, but out of His grace in our lives. So when you see Timothy as a young man, I think struggling.